On this date in 1862, President Abraham Lincoln issued a preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, setting the date for slaves to be freed. When we think of African Americans in the 19th century in this country, it's often slavery in the South or life in large industrial cities that comes to mind first. But in fact, African Americans lived all over the country, including here in Wisconsin.
Victoria Toshin teaches African history and women's and gender studies at St. Norbert College in De Pere, Wisconsin. She recently gave a talk about the history of African Americans in northeastern Wisconsin, and we asked her to share that story with us as well. Victoria, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What brought African Americans to northeast Wisconsin in the first place?
Well, actually, it's important to recognize the deep roots of an African American presence in what eventually becomes Wisconsin. People of African descent came into the upper Midwest with French fur traders as far back as the 1600s, and I think the earliest documented case of a person of African descent in what becomes Wisconsin dates to 1725 in Green Bay. African Americans were independently involved in the fur trade also. For example, the first non-native settlers of what becomes Marinette were two African American men, fur traders, who settled there in the 1790s. Other African Americans came to Wisconsin as enslaved people, brought there by those who owned them, though these were relatively few in number, and mainly in the southwestern part of the state in the Lead region. Fugitive slaves and free African Americans came to Wisconsin also, people who wanted to leave the South or free states other than Wisconsin in hopes of a better life. We have people, African Americans, arriving here from virtually all of the southern states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, other Midwestern states. So it was really a phenomenon of people moving here from many different parts of the country.
So it sounds like at least in those early years, there were one or two African American settlers here and there. When did we first see a significant African American community develop in northeastern Wisconsin?
Well, the numbers grow slowly but steadily over the second half of the 19th century. And in northeast Wisconsin, African American populations typically peaked around 1890. There is variation from county to county, but it is this process of slow but steady growth. In 1870, Fond du Lac had the largest African American population of any city in Wisconsin, with 179 African American residents. There were also significant 19th century African American populations in Green Bay, Oshkosh, Appleton. But the reality is that African Americans also lived scattered broadly across the rural parts of northeast Wisconsin, too. For example, in Brown County in 1870, African Americans lived in De Pere and Fort Howard and Lawrence and Preble and Wrightstown, and in 1880, Bellevue. In Winnebago County in 1870, African Americans lived in Menasha and Rushford and Utica and Winneconne, as well as Oshkosh. In fact, one African American man in Rushford owned a farm valued at $3,000 in 1870, and a man in Menasha owned one valued at $3,500. In the 1850s, there were African Americans living on Washington Island off the tip of Door County. So the population was really widely dispersed.
So even with that wide dispersal of African Americans living in the state and focusing on the northeastern part of the state, what was kind of the glue that held those communities together?
Well, there was an African American church in Fond du Lac that dates to shortly after the middle of the 19th century, and that existed for some decades. So that was one focal point. I've come across newspaper accounts of gatherings of 300 and more African Americans, you know, in a park in northeast Wisconsin, socializing together, having essentially a picnic and a get-together. So that those kinds of things certainly happened.
We're talking with Victoria Toshin, who teaches African history and women's and gender studies at St. Norbert College in De Pere, Wisconsin. And we're talking about her research into the history of African Americans in northeastern Wisconsin. So these African Americans, you said that there were some that were farming and actually farming some pretty significant amounts of land. What other kinds of work were those African Americans doing in northeastern Wisconsin?
Well, there was an informal color bar that steered disproportionate numbers of African American men into typically low-paying and low-status jobs, working as day laborers, janitors, porters, farm workers, street cleaners, shoe shining, factory work, and this informal color bar also steered women into domestic work as maids, servants, laundresses, cooks, and things like that. So the color bar was absolutely real, and limited African Americans' income in many cases because it did steer African American people into low-income jobs. But that color bar did not ensnare everyone. The examples of the farmers I just mentioned would be one exception. And there was a man named Bird Parker who lived in Oshkosh in the 1850s. He came there from Chicago, and he came to Oshkosh because he had been hired by Frederick Douglass, the noted abolitionist, to be the Wisconsin and Minnesota distributor of Douglass's newspaper, and he decided to base himself out of Oshkosh to do that work as a traveling agent. He also championed abolitionism in public talks throughout the state, and Bird Parker was said to be as good an orator as Douglass in some newspaper accounts. He also owned a restaurant in Oshkosh, and he owned six lots of property, contiguous property in Oshkosh, so he was another individual who escaped the color bar. Some people were entrepreneurs. If you were to go to Chilton on the east side of Lake Winnebago, its first non-native settler was an African-American man, Moses Stanton, who came there in 1845 and built both a sawmill and a gristmill there. In fact, Chilton was previously named Stantonville in honor of Moses Stanton. The name was later changed in the 1850s. There were dozens and dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of African-American men who worked as barbers in northeast Wisconsin in the 19th century. And if they were entrepreneurs and owned their own business, they might become substantially wealthy.
How were African-Americans received in the predominantly white northeastern Wisconsin communities to which they came?
Well, the reaction of Wisconsinites was certainly mixed. On the plus side, Wisconsin did not enact the so-called black laws, which were designed to keep African Americans out, as did many other Midwestern states. So no black laws here. Local data, for example, shows African American children consistently attending public schools in the 19th century, and Wisconsin, in fact, was the only Midwestern state that did not have segregation in its public school system. So this was presumably a draw to some African Americans who came to Wisconsin. There are some interesting examples of acceptance in local communities. A man named Peter Pendleton settled in what became Nina. He arrived either in the late 20s or early 30s, and he voted in the first town meeting ever held in Nina in 1847. Interestingly, among a host of votes for things like tax assessment and town officials, there was a vote on whether or not to grant what was called colored suffrage. 34 votes were in favor, 13 against. Peter Pendleton would have had to live knowing, you know, that about a quarter of his neighbors did not support his right to vote. But he was allowed to vote, even though this was before African-American men got to vote in Wisconsin. His son continued that tradition, voting in Outagamie County, also before African-Americans got the vote here in 1866. On the negative side, his son's vote sparked an outcry among white residents of Outagamie County who were appalled that he had been allowed to vote. The vote was upheld, but there was community pushback for sure. We have things going on here like interracial marriages, which were quite common, receiving often sensationalist and racist newspaper coverage.
So certainly northeastern Wisconsin was predominantly white, but there was and is a significant Native American population. How much did the African American and Native American populations mix or live together?
There was a lot of mixing between those two communities, lots of intermarriages between people with African American and Native American ancestry, and that's a phenomenon that has been widespread throughout the history of what becomes the United States going back to the colonial era. In Calumet County, where many Native Americans settled, there were a lot of families that had mixed Native American and African American ancestry. In De Pere, an African American man named Henry Sink settled and bought a home and married two women who, after the first wife died, who were Native American, and he hosted the weddings of a lot of area Native Americans at his private home. So there was a lot of interaction between those two communities.
And Victoria, before we wrap up, you mentioned that the African American population in northeastern Wisconsin really peaked at the end of the 19th century. What happened after that? Why was there a decline?
Well, positive things can draw you elsewhere for good reasons, and negative things can push you elsewhere for, you know, unfortunate reasons. And I think both operated in northeast Wisconsin in the early 20th century. But the late 19th and early 20th centuries were a time of radically worsening race relationships across the United States when there was a profound backlash against the gains being made by African Americans after emancipation and in the Reconstruction era. And northeast Wisconsin was not immune to this national phenomenon. With the dawning of the 20th century, African Americans in northeast Wisconsin faced increased police harassment, increased discrimination in employment, increased discrimination in housing, and with this, African Americans leave here in really completely disproportionate numbers when you look at the white population. Perhaps reflective of this increased racism is the fact that the Klan had a brief heyday in the Fox River Valley in the mid-20s. It was very active in Oshkosh and Fond du Lac and Appleton. Cross burnings occurred in all of those communities, in De Pere, in Green Bay, in Sturgeon Bay. And this is actually after African Americans leave here in large numbers, but of course the knowledge that the Klan was a deeply racist organization was widely known. It was widely written about in area newspapers. There is also the creation at this time of what are known as sundown towns, towns in which African Americans are not welcome after dark. Often their labor was desired and welcome, so they were allowed to be in these communities in the day, but they faced threats of serious violence, which was carried out often if they did not leave. Appleton was a known sundown town in this area. After a recent talk I gave, a man who grew up in Sheboygan told me that had been the case in Sheboygan as well. And so we also see the development of restrictive covenants in northeast Wisconsin. One in a new De Pere subdivision said that no persons of any race other than Gentiles of the Caucasian race shall use or occupy any building unless you are a domestic servant living with a white family. So these sometimes targeted Jews as well as African Americans. I found them in other area communities as well. And they're a reflection of this changing community sentiment because these exist, come to exist in communities where African Americans lived and purchased houses in the 19th century.
And we'll have to leave it there. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Victoria Tashin teaches African history and women's and gender studies at St. Norbert College in De Pere. She joined us to discuss the history of African Americans in northeast Wisconsin.